The Great American Bash is in the rearview mirror, and No Mercy is on the horizon. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Draped in Gold, your one-stop shop for NXT content all around the world. It's your boy Flobo Boys in the booth, ready to break down all the matches for you. But as always, I'm not alone. I'm being joined with a man fresh off the LA Rumble. Please welcome Jack Farmer.
Always good to be back here. Yeah, fresh off the LA Rumble. Still available on Fight TV, and it was a dandy of a show, if I do say so. Can't even talk. See, I'm tongue-tied from it. But dandy of a show, if I do say so myself. She sells. I can't do it, but you know what I mean.
Unique New York. You know, I was actually trying to search for you on YouTube, but I didn't realize this. You actually did the LA Rumble last year, too. You're like a mainstay now, aren't you?
Yeah, that's why I wasn't at SummerSlam, actually. I was at the LA Rumble last year. That was a great show. I think that this year we topped it. It was awesome. You know, like I said in previous weeks, it's 30 people entering at different time intervals. It's like the Royal Rumble for fans of the WWE. Winner gets a title shot, and it did not disappoint.
Well, damn, so glad you're here. I know your rate has gone up, but I pay you nothing. Broadcasting live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. I don't pay you anything. Or the artist formerly known as Twitter, Twitch, and Trovo. Thanks so much for joining us on this early Wednesday morning on the West Coast or the afternoon on the East Coast. But let's get into it, man. Our main event involves a little bit of that.
I don't mean to cut you off here. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Yeah, ask for the business flow, though.
You know what? You're absolutely right. Look, we need your five-star reviews, and we need your paper text reviews. Put them all down on the whole podcast service if you're choosing, man. Please.
Copy the link and throw it into social media, and then get in the chat. Quit lurking. We know you're out there.
Really? Because I don't see anybody in our chat right now. But if you're in the chat, say, what's up? We'll get your comments and questions evolving.
Pop Princess. Hello, Pop Princess. Good to see you, as always.
Oh, Pop Princess is in the building. Oh, well, I thought she was like live streaming a minute ago. Anyway, let's get to our main event. But before we get to our main event, our opening scene here, it's Gallus, it's Tony Nee, and Challenge That's Lorenzo. Gang warfare is on point. And even though Gallus looked like a bunch of oafs, we had ourselves a six-man tag team match player featuring a special guest. Jack, walk me through this one.
Well, you talk about the very start of this thing. This is what gang warfare is all about. This is what happens in the streets. You don't get a time to celebrate. You don't get a time to pop champagne and have good times. No, it's vicious. It's violent. The food chain is always being recirculated. So if you become the top of the chain, of course you're going to get jumped as soon as you show up to the arena. I'm actually kind of disappointed that Tony and Stax didn't come prepared for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I always wonder this, you know, you talk about the family and what the Don actually does when the camera's off. I know he's a legitimate businessman, but we don't know what that business is. And when I got the idea that maybe someone's going to be called to be part of this matchup, I said, well, wow, maybe somebody is going to be part of the family. But yet it was a loaner, a rental from the main roster, your boy, Santos Escobar. Now, here's the deal. Weren't they fighting last time we saw them? What's going on with that?
Well, when you live and die by the streets, Flobo, you learn that sometimes alliances shift quickly. And okay. I thought this was a very smart move by Tony D, a risky one. But I think Tony D saw the risky moves that Stax was making and how they were paying off. And so Tony D said, look, let's go ahead and up the ante. Let's keep it going. Let's keep on betting and keep on going. And it paid off. Santos, clearly a very talented wrestler, got a good win here. And I think when they showed up at this event, a little worried for Tony D and Stax because they didn't come prepared, but they were able to make that halftime adjustment, get the win later on in the night with Santos. Very well played.
Interesting. So Gallus takes another loss. There's many weeks because they're no longer the NXT Tag Team Championships champions. And I said this before the end of NXT UK, which is coming up on a year, if you can imagine that, is that Gallus doesn't seem like the same group they always were. And this one here doesn't put any bit of confidence in what's next for the Gallus boys. What's up with that?
Taking two losses in a row is tough. And as we saw elsewhere on this show, taking a couple losses in a row can really get in your head. And I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little bit, but yeah, Gallus needs to figure out a way to get back on track, get back in the winning column. I will say, I got to give it to Joe Coffey a little bit. That guy has been getting shredded. Was it just me or did you notice? He seemed like he was just bulking up, But you're right.
Why'd you say it like that?
Man. Me. Man, certified thigh, Joe Coffey.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that they got to find a way to turn this around. I don't think they did anything wrong other than accepting a six-man tag match without knowing who all three competitors are. Flobo, that's like rule number one. Don't take a match if you don't know who the opponent is. That's why I am always strongly against open challenges. I'm strongly against mystery partners. I'm strongly against taking a match where you don't know who your opponent is, because you have no idea how to prepare. You have no idea how to be ready. And that we see that Gallus was a victim of that this week.
Honest question. Did it bother you / annoy you that Santos Escobar appeared on NXT this week but had no interactions with Rey Mysterio or Electra Lopez?
No, because he couldn't have, based on what Tony D and Stax had planned. I get it. I'm sure he wanted to see Rey Mysterio and see Electra Lopez, but you can't do that if you're trying to surprise somebody. Must have been tough. It must have been hard for him, but I think it was the right move on his part.
Speaking of surprises, tragedy strikes NXT this week as Ikki Manjaro is kicked out of Schism. No, I'm kidding. Schism's trying to figure out who the moles are. They think it's the Creed brothers, and it's not. The Creed brothers, who seem to be losing, leave NXT and traveling the world with a snap of their finger, are out there taunting Schism. Now, I know you're a Schism fan. I know you're a Schism devotee. You're probably saying, how dare the Creeds do this? But the question I have is, how dare Schism not find the mole in their own organization?
Well, that's, first off, you need to understand, Flo, but I'm not a fan of anybody in particular. I'm a fan of greatness. I'm a fan of people who do the job correctly. And Schism always does. One thing I'm also not a fan of is you not apologizing.
Because
again, we prove that just because someone shows up to the ring in a mask does not mean they are a part of Schism. We saw it multiple times today. We saw it the previous week. Mm-hmm. And you said the first time someone showed up in a mask, clearly it's Schism. Clearly they're there to help Schism. But you've never redacted that comment, even though week in and week out, we've seen that the masks don't necessarily mean anything.
So what say you? Are you intrigued of figuring out who is causing the sabotaging of Schism? Or do you believe it's the Creed brothers? Do you really believe it's them, even though they have left NXT?
I'm a big fan of the Creed brothers, but this week I was a little disappointed. I understand, Flobo, that when they leave NXT, and I understand that, hey, maybe you got some time off, relax, get healthy again, come back. But this week we saw that they've been to the pyramids, they've been to Easter Island, they've been to Fiji, they've been to Hawaii. I don't know if they're taking wrestling seriously, if they're just seeing the world and traveling and hanging out at beaches the way they clearly are.
They don't have a job. Take it as seriously as you want. You can't really apply your craft anywhere. You have to leave town.
When you don't have a job, your job is to find a job, Flobo. You know.
Wow. Dad, is that you? You boomer? Go out there and pound pavement.
And in my day, we made sure our lawn only got so tall. Because we had lawns in my day.
Exactly. What is a lawn? We're going to be like the Jetsons living in space. We're just going to move on from that. I think it's kind of silly or interesting about Schism in their wild Scooby-Doo-like chase. And, well, I hope it works out for them. But the Creed brothers, they're lounging up. They're having a good time. Not a big deal. Not a big deal. Elsewhere, we have ourselves a very distraught Wesley, who didn't get a chance to become North America champion anymore, but he had a nice interaction with Carmelo Hayes. I want your thoughts about that. But more importantly, today we got ourselves almost a super card matchup with Wesley and the NXT champion, him, Carmelo Hayes, taking on Ormenza, according to Booker, and Noam Dar of Metaphor. This was your hour one main event, but it could have easily been a main event on any other card all year.
Yeah, I didn't understand. Why did Vic keep correcting Booker T? Was I hearing it wrong? I mean,
I went back and checked it out. I think he was just saying it right. I mean, he was just kind of like saying Mensa, and he's like Mensa, but it was correct. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know if it sounds like he's saying it right. But in any case, what
this Shucky Ducky Quack Quack? Okay, what are you saying?
As they say, if the Shucky Duckies, it's gonna quack quack.
They do say that. We'll talk.
Speaking of boomers, one of those. You know, I think that I understand where Wesley's coming from. I understand why he's so upset. Look, took a lot of losses for one, lost a championship for one. That on its own can absolutely be difficult to deal with. But I think for Wesley, it's even harder because I think he's looking back at the past few months and realizing he got played. He got played by Ollie. He got played by everyone in this division. And now he's lost everything. I mean, you got to feel like he feels like the guy who was the victim of a con man in a lot of ways. He's lost everything and now he has nothing. And there's not really much he can do about it at this point. And so I get why he's so upset. But he was correct about a lot of things. He's got to get back into the winning ways. He's got to get in the face of another champion or someone who can put him back on the right track. And more importantly, you know, he agrees that the Heritage Cup belongs to Noam Dar.
Oh, no, we're not doing this again with the Heritage Cup. The fact that, and we also have some implications over Tyler Bate later on in the show, but the fact that there is this cup, and whether you want to say it's real or fake, because we all know anyone who watches the show knows the real champion is Nathan Frazier, but I'm going to humor you for a second. I'm going to humor you for a second and say, hey, Noam Dar is the quote-unquote true Heritage Cup champion. Why would he then accept a challenge stupidly against Tyler Bate? Question I have in the back of my mind, but about this match here, the tag team match. So Noam Dar, the Heritage Cup champion, and Orem Enza had a matchup, but it very seemed like until the very end of it, it was Wesley and Carmelo Hayes having the advantage. Now, Metaphor has been a group for a short amount of time, but I'm saying maybe there's a lack of chemistry between the four of them.
I mean, it's watching this match, I thought the big takeaway was how Wesley hit the wrong guy, Carmelo Hayes. But I was watching this thinking you probably thought he hit the right guy, just like you think that Nathan Frazier beat the right guy, even though it was the wrong guy.
Not doing this again, because I know Nathan Frazier is the true Heritage Cup champion. And I think having two just weakens the entire thing. What is Noam Dar doing? It's making it worse for everyone.
Noam Dar never lost it. By the way, this precedent has been set with other companies. This precedent it's been set by, as we'll talk about, Tyler Bate, been set by Wesley. Metaphor agrees this is the way it is. The only person that is saying that Noam Dar is
anyone saying
champion is the counterfeiter.
Yeah, wow, Jack, come on.
Pop Prince says thank you so much. Pop Prince out here like, wow, Jack, come on, tell him.
Yeah, you know what? Whatever. I let me ask about Chris Martello, babe. Before this, I was going to say there's a quote that I really liked from Carmelo Hayes who says, nobody gets it because nobody lived it. No wonder Breaker snapped. And I was like, ah, character moment. So Tyler Bate, though, has his idea. He says, hey, look, if you think you're the true Heritage Cup champion, you wouldn't mind defending that Heritage Cup championship. Noam Dar is a fantastic wrestler, Israeli-Scottish, representing both parts of Europe and the Middle Eastern region. Not really, you get what I'm saying. But the idea is he's not really a world traveler. Tyler Bate is, you know, more mentally sound, went to Tibet, came back, centered himself. Tyler Bate will have the advantage in this sham Heritage Cup match on par for 2 weeks from now.
Well, it's a sham because Noam Dar didn't technically accept the match. So I get what you're saying there. But Tyler Bate is the leader of the Thigh Guys. So I absolutely think that he's a tough competitor. He's one of the best. He's incredibly gifted. I think that Tyler Bate is taking a big risk here because he's been taking a lot of shots at titles and falling short. And I think that he risks going through all of them and falling short. So I think he needs to be careful about that situation. I do want to say real quick, side note, Metaphor's entrance, awesome. But with the way they stand in a row and the colors coming down, that looks
I don't cool. get it. I don't get that. I don't get them. I don't know why they're hanging out with each other. It kind of reminds me of Judgment Day. You know what I mean? Like I understand Rhea Ripley being a badass. I understand Dominic Mysterio being Dominic Mysterio, but I have seen so much of them and they're posturing down the ramp. I just go, get on with it. Say your stuff and leave.
Just Bobo saying he doesn't get the most dominant group in WWE.
I'm saying I don't get the extended entrance. If you're supposed to be that great, Go down there and handle your business. Don't be out there posturing and posing like you're on the street corner. Come on, I got things to do.
Say, as saying that to The Undertaker, to Randy Orton, to Triple H, all the guys.
Roman Reigns, yeah.
Yeah, come on. They're not that great. I don't.
I got things. Yo, hurry this up, man. I got some things to do after this. Don't be out there being like sauntering down to the ring. We got things to do. All right. See, Pop Prince gets it.
Tyler Bate, Noam Dar will be a show stealer if and when it happens.
Let me ask you this, though. If Tyler Bate happens to win, and I know it's beyond the realm of possibility, but if Tyler Bate wins and wins this Heritage Cup, does there, in fact, need to be a path for a unification between that cup and the one that Frazier progresses?
Yeah, very unrealistic, but I've seen the Multiverse of Madness and I've seen the Spider-Man movie, so I get the multiverse series.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I can understand that there are weird situations. If Tyler Bate wins, then he's the Heritage Cup champion. I don't know what Nathan Frazier has to do with it.
Because whether or not you recognize Nathan Frazier as being the true Heritage Cup champion, because he is, there's still two pieces of hardware in this wrestling promotion. And one has to be removed, doesn't it?
All I'm saying is more and more people are saying Noam Dar is the guy, and fewer people are saying Nathan Frazier is.
I hate this. I really think, don't insult my intelligence wrestling television program on Tuesday night. We all know that Nathan Frazier won a match to become the Heritage Cup champion. This is kind of becoming a farce.
It's a farce because Nathan Frazier keeps acting like carrying around this phony baloney version of the Heritage Cup.
Real quick, before we get on to our next matchup, shout out to Emily May, who's featured on both NXT this week and on the Great American Bash on this weekend. We all know Emily May. We were former coworkers or current coworkers or friends. I'm not sure what the title is, but always good to see people come up.
Yeah, it's really cool to see her. And it's funny because she has one of those voices that even before she's on screen, I was like, is that Emily?
Imagine that was the case.
Yeah.
So we got to move on, but now it's time for, I got to find my thing because I forgot it. There it is. Bam. Today's general manager pick'em. This is where I get to ask Jack, the Phantom General Manager of NXT, just something, a question, something that maybe you can help me out because he is the brains of the operation. This week, future WWE Hall of Famer Dana Brooke tells Kalani Jordan, you know what? You are amazing. You're talented. You're so athletic, but you have to need that killer instinct. You need to call somebody out. Now, General Manager Jack Farmer, if you were Kalani Jordan, if you had a chance to give anyone a chance to wrestle her in a matchup, who would you think Kalani should call out?
I think that's a really good question. I think if I'm Kalani Jordan, you want to try to have someone with a little bit of spice that's going to get you recognized, get you noticed, but also someone who's beatable. And so at this point, I think the person that stands out to me is Gigi Dolin. Someone who's taken a couple losses, has been shown to be beatable, but also someone that always gets attention, someone who always has the viewership up and who is getting tweeted about and things like that. Beating someone like Gigi Dolin, which based on recent win-loss records is possible, is something that would help her stand out.
Well, I would thought that you would have selected one of the many ne'er-do-wells on NXT. Just for reference, those watching at home currently, that's Lola Vice, JC Jane, Cora Jade, Blair Davenport, Jakara Jackson, Lash Legend, Tatum Paxley, and Electra Lopez. And, of course, wild card free agents Lacey Evans and Io Sky. But Gigi Dolin, you say? Interessante. I don't know. Do you think Kalani Jordan has killer instinct, or is that something that remains to be seen?
Well, I watched in this scene, I was thinking to myself the whole time as these two are talking, Dana Brooke is just gaslighting Kalani Jordan so much here. She's like, yeah, sure, you can follow your dreams and do what you love, but have you ever thought about, but you really need to be more vicious and attack people. I mean, sure, you're getting TV time, hanging out with the future Hall of Famer and doing great things, but have you ever thought about doing my dirty work for me for once? Jeez.
That's what she said. She didn't say that at all.
I mean, she's
what do you mean?
She's gassing up Kalani Jordan. I think
I would too.
You know, I think the truth is Kalani Jordan needs to use that aggression to take out Dana Brooke.
Wow. If someone came up to you and said, Jack Farmer, and literally this happens, I've seen it happen. Someone came up to you and said, hey, Jack Farmer, you're a legend. You go, oh no, what you should be doing. No, it's Dana Brooke is offering advice. That's what legends do. And she goes, look, if you want to make your own thing, go out there and do something I didn't do in my career. Dana Brooke was always the one being called out or always the one being slotted into matches, but she never called anybody out. Here's a chance for Kalani Jordan to do something vicariously on the bathroom of Dana Brooke.
Yeah, when someone's come up to me and said it's the legend, I don't say, you know what you should do is go attack somebody. Go pick some fights.
I knew you would take that literally. I said it, and I was like, look, I'm in the plane. I got to land it. I knew you took that literally, but it's fine. It's fine, my fine. Hardcore Dana Brooke.
Hardcore Dana Brooke. Yeah. Hardcore country. Wait, wrong person.
Hey, we'll get us sued. Speaking about hardcore light work, my recent favorite NXT got his proverbial buttocks handed to them as Eddie Thorpe took on Dijak in a match where both men needed to win, but it was Dijak getting the dub with, I guess, a discus boot. I'm not even sure what it's called, but it looks like he came to collect. Eddie Thorpe and losing end this week. Is this the end of the hot streak for the former Carl Fredericks?
No, I think that this is just the beginning for Eddie Thorpe. I think he's going to grow and become great here. Pride was the story of this match.
Ooh,
here.
And pride.
What it was Eddie Thorpe, I believe, could have won this match. I think Eddie Thorpe had this one, and I think if he did a few things differently, he would have gotten the win. But I think his arm and shoulder were being worked, and he was too proud to stop using them, and that set him up for failure in the end. Is he was using this damaged arm. It hurt him. It slowed him down, and Dijak is someone who's going to be able to take advantage of that, and that's what happened here. Dijak, by the way, I think when you're someone like Dijak, you're just this big, monstrous, destructive person. And when you're that person for so long, we start to take for granted how destructive they are.
Mm. And
we saw it again tonight. I think at this event, and a lot of people are maybe it's like, oh yeah, Dijak won. Interesting. But they're not stopping to say, that's right. Dijak is incredible. He is big, he is tough, he's destroying people, and by the way, he's also strategic in that he can work the arm, and that is a very dangerous combination.
I don't know, Jack. Look, I'm not knocking anybody here, because on paper, this match could have gone either way. It didn't. There was a clear winner and clear loser, but I was a bit disappointed about the ease of how Dijak dispatched Eddie Thorpe. I wonder if that's going to make anyone look like they're going to be in line for any title opportunities the way that Dijak won. Man, that's like me playing WWE 2K23 in easy mode. Yeah, I won the match, but I'm getting 1-star, 2-star reviews by these stupid fans who don't know how good I am.
Well, Dijak is a perennial contender, I think.
Perennial.
If you told me next week he's got a shot at the North American title, I'd say makes sense. If you said next week he's taking a shot at the NXT title, I'd say that makes sense. Heritage Cup makes sense. If he got a partner, tag team makes sense. So yeah, I think that puts him in contention. The fact that this came off easy, as you say,
yeah,
again, I think comes down to Eddie Thorpe just having a little bit too much pride in that arm. And I think if he was able to adjust, maybe he just isn't used to being attacked in that way and having someone, technically pick at him that way here in NXT. Maybe that's what it was. But I think anyone else, when you think of the seasoned guys, would say, look, you've hurt my shoulder. I've got to adjust the game plan and do something different. But as you saw, he continued to use it, and that slowed him down as opposed to using the other arm.
Mm, talk so about
think,
that.
I think this will make him better, I should say, because I think now he'll look back and say, I need to do this differently. Thorpe is someone who's going to check the tape. He'll figure it out.
I mean, Eddie Thorpe is having a bit of a time beating Damon Kimble, losing to Dijak. I'm not sure what's going on with them. But you did mention the North American title picking order, which seems to be everyone wants a slice of 30. Dominic and Mommy. I can't believe I'm actually going to call him Dirty Dom. But you had Axiom. You had Dragon Lee by way of Mysterio. You had Ali saying, what about my opportunity? Everyone's coming at the king. The question is for you, Jack. Will somebody not miss?
Eventually someone's not going to not miss. But it's crazy how the star power we've got with Dominic and Rhea. And mm-hmm. Dominic and Rhea, they come out there and they're getting booed, even though you've got two champions, two dominant champions, Dominic and Rhea out there. We need to be better. We need to be cheering them. We need to be cheering both of them. They're a celebrity couple. We need to join their names. We need to be chanting as they come out. Domaria.
No.
Domaria.
Not chanting that. No.
We need to chant it. Call him Domaria. And
that sounds like something else. I mean, why would I
Domaria? Yes, we need to start chanting that at them. I think that they would love to hear that. You know, I think that it would just make their day. It should be regular. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got that. I totally got the implication. So let's get into.
I think to your point, though, yes, there's a lot of people lined up. A little surprised that Wes Lee seems to be giving up on the whole thing. And he wasn't the one that was trying to get the shot. But I will say I liked Axiom popping in. I liked that Axiom popped in, tried to sneak in. I think he learned a little something from Ali over the past few months and learning that you can sort of slide in there and get a spot if you time it right. And he almost did. But I don't know, I'm torn. I loved Ollie's fire here. You know, I'm a fan of the chess games. I love that he was able to do what he did.
You are?
But I think that he was fired up. I'm glad that he really read Axiom, the Riot Act, and I hope that Ollie gets his shot.
I shout out to Thunder Pants and, of course, Jeffrey Wright for checking in on the show. Yeah. But the first one online, is going to be Dragon Lee, somebody that Dominic confused for Axiom, unfortunately. But when the corner of Rey Mysterio is going to make the trip over to Orlando on Tuesday night to be in Dragon Lee's corner. Now, I know there's something peeking behind the curtain there. Jack, we talked about Rey Mysterio's legacy is cemented. First ballot Hall of Famer because he already was a Hall of Famer and he's still competing. That is unheard of. We talk about the next step when it comes to the lucha representation in WWE. Talk about Santos Escobar a couple of years ago. Dragon Lee visually looks the closest to Rey Mysterio. Is this a little bit of the passing of the torch there for the one they call Dragon Lee?
The thing that I noticed most about this as Dragon Lee was out there is I've said many times, and you've tried to deny it, but it clearly continues to come up. Nathan Frazier holds people back. And you notice this week, Nathan Frazier wasn't at the event yet.
So he held nobody right back. What are you talking about?
Within a week, Nathan Frazier's gone, and suddenly Dragon Lee finds himself with a potential shot at the North American Championship, and he's going to have a match with there that night next week. The greatest luchador of all time will be there, as well as Rey Mysterio. It's going to be incredible, this matchup. Dragon Lee versus the greatest, the GOAT, Dom Mysterio, for the North American Championship, and even brought Rey Mysterio. I don't think that would have happened if Nathan Frazier was there with his big counterfeit cup holding everybody back.
The greatest what?
Dominic all time.
Dominic Mysterio is the greatest.
Did you hear him?
Yeah, I mean, I heard him, but I didn't believe him. What's up, Dad Highs? I didn't believe him at all. Well, I think you're wrong. I think you're off your rocker, and I think you are on that loco juice. That just means postulating.
Putting you know I don't drink loco juice.
I do drink 4 Loko because I'm a college kid. You got to move on because this is something that I know that you're going to gloat about. This is why I've been trying to hold it off. But let's talk about the plight of Chase U student, Thea Hale. Had the submissive match against the center of the universe, Tiffany Stratton, in all her Barbie gear glory this weekend at the Great American Bash with Andre Chase throwing in the towel because that's something he thought he had to do. Now, in the matchup today against Baron Corbin, Andre Chase tried as hard as he can, but Thea looked conflicted, even doing a little tower play herself. Is things amiss at Chase University, Jack Farmer?
Well, yeah. First off, Thea Hale's
good choice, Whip.
Gutted. She's gutted, and I understand why. And it's because Chase, you set her up for failure.
Agreed.
They set her up. And
I agree with you.
They got her expectations up. They got her thinking a certain way. And you've got to believe in yourself, but you've also got to have a little bit of realistic expectations.
Really?
What's happening? I mean, if I play one-on-one against LeBron James, I can believe in myself all I want, but I need to be realistic about what that score is going to end up looking like.
Wow.
They weren't realistic with Thea Hale. And that's why she's so heartbroken right now. I think that is directly because of Chase U. And I think that, you know, we talk about all the changes Baron Corbin's been going through over the past few months. And clearly, this is what it is. He's a realist. He's going to help people understand where they truly stand and what they really need to do. And I think that that's just a really good thing for a locker room leader and a veteran like Baron Corbin to do.
I hate the fact that I agree with 80% of that. Baron Corbin is lame. I'm not sure what the whole burn your ships means because is he a captain now or a pirate? But yes, Chase, you did set up Thea Hale to fail.
He burned his ships.
I don't know what that means. Is he gonna open a colony? Like, what is that? Burn your what? I know what that colony. Means. I have no
colony's
idea.
Colony's open for business, everybody.
Come on in. All people are invited except for you two. No, I don't get it. I don't get Baron Corbin what he's trying to do, but you're absolutely right. Thea Hale does seem like she had his match won on Sunday, even though you're a big Tiffany Stratton fan. Chase gave up on her, and Thea Hale tried to return some of the favor, but your boy Baron Corbin got involved.
Well, it's and I think we see how Baron Corbin shows just how you can evolve and grow too. I mean, you may not like the fact they said burn the ships, and you may not like that he's opening up a colony for people. but like
colony resort.
Evolution, you know, he's always won. I know. Be careful. But like how he won this week with that half crab, I thought that was awesome.
Right.
Because I'm a big Lance Storm fan. So as you know, he won with the half crab.
For the first time in like 2 months, I'm not taking anything away from Baron Corbin because I love taking things away from Baron Corbin, right? But the bigger problem is this. You had Baron, who's a free agent, still muddling about in NXT, didn't get the NXT championship. He's going after Chase Yu after being insulted backstage. I get that. But what happens with him? But more importantly, what's the point of being a leader of a school if you're going to quit on your students? I am really disappointed, shocked, and appalled even of what transpired on both sides of the ring this week.
I don't think that Chase Yu gave up on his students. I think he realized that reality was setting in. And if he didn't do something, Thea Hale was going to get hurt. And so he had to do what he did. Where he failed was he shouldn't have let it get to that point. He shouldn't have let it gone that far. And I think with the issues between Baron Corbin and Chase Yu, they're only between Chase Yu may not like Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin has no issues with Chase Yu. He's just trying to educate Thea Hale because she's not getting the education she needs at Chase Yu. Mm-hmm. It's like when someone goes to school and they're like, I'm going to be an underwater basket weaver. And then someone who actually runs a business says, look, this is what you really need to learn if you want to be successful in the real world. That's all Baron Corbin was doing.
Oh, what a downer. I had that in real life.
He was 4-hour work weeking Thea Hale.
Let's talk about shifting priorities, because this could be the end pause of Trick Mello Gang. Dragunov, who brought back the contacts, who I think is super lame, it seemed to be a final boss of Trick Williams at a point where Trick says, look, I gotta go and be my own man. I'm not a sidekick, and I know it's in the end of a friendship. I'm gonna go my separate ways. I don't know about you, man, but I was kind of broken up because I wasn't the biggest Trick Williams fan, but I learned over the past year and some change that Trick can bring it. But now it looks like he's on a mission on his own. Is this the end of Trick Mello Gang?
It's something unpredictable, but in the end, it's right. I think that, look, I have always believed in Trick Williams, and I know I say a lot of crazy stuff, but you can run the tape. I've been a believer in Trick Williams since day one.
What's tape? It's 2023.
And well, it's set on in a box on my lawn.
my lawn. Someone's living high on the hog.
but you can run it back. I've always believed in Trick Williams. I've always said that he's a buy now stock. I've also said the same about Carmelo Hayes. And I think Carmelo Hayes is proven. Now, don't count your chickens before they're hatched. But he's going to do everything that I think we've all believed that Carmelo Hayes can do. I think Trick Williams realized that if he wants to do all the things he believes he can do, he can no longer be in the shadow of Carmelo Hayes. And I don't think Carmelo Hayes was doing anything intentional. Like he said, I think it was nothing but love between the two. And I love to see that. But the truth is, we did kind of look at Trick Williams as the sidekick. We did kind of look at him as the buddy. And no matter what Trick Williams did, as long as he was next to Carmelo Hayes, yeah, he was going to look like Carmelo Hayes' buddy.
Well, what's wrong with that, though? What's wrong with being a buddy? What's wrong about having yourself a super group, right? The Wu-Tang Clan came out first, and we never said that RZA was just a sidekick. They were just like a giant super group that then broke off later on. I mean, why they need to do it now?
Because in this business, I can't remember which legend said it, but if you don't want to be...
I know so many legends, I just forget which.
I know a few. But when you have... If you don't want to be the guy, in this business, then you don't belong in this business. And Trick Williams realized that he was never going to be the guy as long as he was next to Carmelo Hayes, and he needs to go find his own path. And it's tough. It sucks. It's a good group. And I love that they have been able to just have the conversation instead of, you know, a Marty Jannetty moment. But I think that Trick Williams will be just fine. I think he'll do great. I think he'll soar higher. And look, if they want to reunite down the road, they still can. I think that Trick Williams, a very tough decision, Flobo. It's like when you're dating that person that you guys are, you hang out, you're friends, you laugh all the time, everything's amazing, but they want to go live in the country and you want to go live in the city. And you've just got to realize it's tough, but it's just not going to work. And I think that's what happened.
Bless you for thinking I actually get dates. I appreciate that. But we got to move on. But this is the magic.
Metaphorically.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's not going to happen in real life. We got to move on in interest of time. Cedric Welton's favorite superstar, Lola Vice, was in a tag team match with Electra Lopez. If you watch NXT Level Up, they have been featured a couple times backstage because I like you. I like you too. This time against one of my favorite superstars on the roster, Ulyssa Leon and Valentina Ferois. Now, Valentina and Ulyssa had the dub this weekend at the Great American Bash, taking on and winning against Metaphor, but they're on the short end this week. Electra Lopez, La Madrina, Lola Vice, the stock is rising. Are you buying in, Jack Farmer?
It's a little early to buy in. I will say, though, that this was a huge win for Electra and Vice. It was a huge loss for Leon and Ferois.
Huge.
Yes, this was tough. This was
come on.
This was a bad loss because they're a team, Leon and Ferois, that have been together for a while. They've been working together for a long time. They should be one of the most dominant tag teams in NXT right now because of their time together. They should know how to work together. They should have all the kinks worked out. They should be fluid. They should be beating everybody right now. Because I believe they're the longest standing tag team in that division.
It's hard to say because Chance and Carter have both been brought up to the main roster, but they haven't been featured together in matches. And Ulyssa Leon had the ACL injury that took about 9 months. So it's kind of fuzzy there. But yeah, those two teams would be the longest tenured.
But Electra and Lola, they're new. They're just getting started. And so, and particularly Lola, she's new to wrestling and she's new to the brand in general. So the fact that this team got together and got the win, and it frankly didn't take them a super long time to do it, I think is big for them. And I think definitely is setting off, flags about them. Like, hey, this might be a team to watch. And if you're Leon and Ferois, I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think, you know, you throw them out, but I think that that's definitely a team that needs to say, we absolutely now know for sure we have to get away from Nathan Frazier.
What? Oh, I forgot they were interacting. I was like, why is that so random? Okay, look, I'm a huge fan of Royce and Leon. You know, I'm a big Leon fan, second generation superstar. I think there's a lot to her. I do think that she is the future when it comes to that, but she is the one at the pinfall. So I have to reevaluate that. I like Lola Vice. I like Electra Lopez. I'm not sure why I like them together because I just never understood backstage La Madrina being like, I like you. And Lola Vice being like, I like you. And that was it. Like that's not how friendships work. It's like kids at the playground, but a dub's a dub and a win's a win. Do you think women's tag team wrestling is going to have a bit of a renaissance on NXT?
I do agree that's not how friendships work. You usually have to pay me first. But I do think that it is a wide open division on NXT right now. And if you are in the tag team division as a female, now is the time you want to get involved. And now is the time you want to make a statement. Because if you can, this is now a time where you can dominate that division fairly quickly. And if you're dominating a division, who's going to get the next title shot? It's you. So there is a very good opportunity for titles there if you are a female that is in a tag team. So, it's wide open. I think because of the draft, kind of took so many of their top teams.
Welcome back to Draping Gold. If you're just joining in, Jack Farmer says, don't have any friends, work by yourself, go up to the top, take on all comers, and don't do it nicely. And pay him to be a friend. Tragic.
Yeah, you got it right.
Speaking of the women's division, JC Jane and Lyra Valkyrie had their matchup that was long anticipated, and it was kind of surprising wasn't featured at the Great American Bash. Lyra Valkyrie, who's been watching, has been challenged by Rhea Ripley, the World Women's Champion, or the World Heavyweight Women's Champion, I'm not sure if they're heavyweights, to really show her what she can do. Now, Lyra gets the dub, but JC Jane does not make it easy. Talk to me about this. Three things I took away from this match. Lyra's feathers are back. She gets the dub. What's that mean for Rhea? And JC Jane hasn't really have a nice win streak forever.
Well, I do think that, first off, I think Lyra has one of the better.
I fell off the chair.
Lyra Valkyrie, by the way, I want to say one of my favorite videos for her entrances, maybe second to, I mean, Alba Fire had the best, I think, entrance when she was going, but. I like Lyra Valkyrie is also very glacier-like.
Deep cut.
If they did their next PLE, they should actually drop some snow in the crowd. I think that would look really
only cool. People over the age of 30 will get that reference. You know that, right?
What's a glacier?
Learn your history.
Yeah, exactly. You're not a real wrestling fan.
You're not a real wrestling fan. You haven't watched the 40 million hours of professional wrestling that happened before you were born.
Late period WCW strikes again.
But I do love that. But I want to give some credit to JC Jane. I love the fire here. I love that she got the jump. I love that she found a way to harness her anger and emotions to try to make her more dangerous in the ring. But Lyra Valkyrie is someone that I have personally pegged for a long time, you I think as well, as someone who is an absolute rock star. She's gonna be tough to beat. She's gonna hard out every time. Losing to her, there's no shame in that. And I think that that's why Rhea Ripley has noticed her and is focusing on her and talking to her. So it's every loss is tough, but come on, I think Valkyrie is going to probably rocket up the division very fast.
I'm going to put you in a spot here, probably another general manager pick him. JCJ, do you buy, hold, or sell stock here at this point? She has a couple losses, but like arguably this week was one of her best performances in ring. What would you do if you're GM?
I would find, as we talked about that tag team division, I'd find someone that could hang with her as a tag team. She showed a lot of promise and a lot of talent as a tag team wrestler. I think she's great in that mold as a tag team wrestler. And down the line, maybe she could be a single star. I mean, I'm not counting her out in that, but when you take a lot of losses, you go back to what works. And I think that she should go back to what works.
I actually agree with you. I think someone here who took a huge L to the point where I think she's broken is Blair Davenport. I think Blair and JC Jane can have themselves a little tag team run, but I know Jack would probably hate that idea because you think Blair Davenport should have all the titles because she's a Davenport, yada, yada, yada. But I do think they should be a team together.
Well, you actually make a valid point. I agree with you on this because I think you and I both, as you just said, Blair Davenport deserves all the titles. And you can't have all the titles without the tag team titles. So go get them.
Got to give up to the grand poob of it all, Papa Zorch, who says, greatest of all time is Bruno Sammartino. A safe choice, a nice choice, but, you know, growing up, my dad was a Chief J. Strongbow fan, which, for those of you who don't know wrestling trivia, Chief J. Strongbow was an Italian man who pretended to be Native American because of Bruno Sammartino, with Vince McMahon saying, I didn't want two Italians in the same roster. So, without Bruno, there's no Chief J. Strongbow. So, I appreciate you, bro.
I was always a Sputnik the Destroyer fan.
Really?
I just wanted to say someone old.
Okay, I thought you'd be more of like a demolition guy. Here comes the X. Here comes the Smasher. Demolition.
No. I was more of a Gorge George guy.
Okay, yeah, for sure. What? Know your history, bro.
Know your history. Who's like the farthest back I can think of? That's
Yeah, that's kind of hard. Nick Bockwinkle? I don't
know. Yeah, Nick Bockwinkle. Because then I like the original Nature Boy.
Buddy Rogers. I love it.
Then when someone says, well, so. Yeah, you just didn't watch it back then. You don't understand.
You don't get it. I got two burning questions for you today that you can help me out with these before we get out of here. Braun Breaker is not a Van Wagner fan. Nice beard, though, by the way. What kind of match do you think Braun and Von are actually going to have?
A very hard-hitting one.
Nice. yeah. Next question. No.
I don't know. I said it jokingly, but it's actually kind of the answer.
Oh yeah, make it a no holds barred, I guess, right?
I think it's gonna be very similar to Goldberg, Brock Lesnar. I think it's gonna be fast, hard hitting.
21 seconds. And lastly, Tiffany Stratton had a get ready with me smack talk on TikTok, which I'm not sure if that actually happened or if those are these things for the show. Tiffany Stratton's on top of the world, but she needs an opponent down the line. Who do you think it's going to be?
I think that I'd have to give it to Roxanne Perez. You know, I am a big Blair Davenport fan, but Roxanne Perez has been the champion before, and she got a as you said, a very big win at Great American Bash. Hard to deny that she doesn't have the accolades to claim that right.
It doesn't happen often, but there are some losses that people take. I go, ugh, they're just like, for me, Braun Strowman will never be a contender because Roman Reigns stomped him out like one time on a random ass SmackDown. I think this is actually that for Blair Davenport, for me personally. And by the way, where is Stevie Turner? I know she was backstage with Cora Jade complaining, but I want Stevie Turner on my TV screen now. She's fourth dimension, man. What are we waiting on?
She needs to get out of the fourth dimension and into our dimension because... Yeah, I agree. I'm a big Turner fan.
No Stevie Turner, no peace. But that does it for us this week on Draped in Gold. Jack Farmer, you know, you do a lot of things, and I'm so glad you're able to take a part of your Wednesday to be on the show because I'm just a guy doing it in my bedroom. But if someone wanted to interact with you, follow you, make sure they can book you for things, how to go about doing that?
Well, Carmelo, hey, I mean, Trick Williams is my MVP of NXT, if we're going to skip over that part. But you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I'm on all of them, so check them out. You can also now, for a limited time only, and I haven't announced this anywhere yet, Flo, but this is breaking news, only to the fans of Draped in Gold as of now. Later tonight, might announce on Wrestling Inc. But you can get your own Jack Farmer merch.
Wow. Right
there. Thanks for me. You can just DM me, and I'll give you all the details on how you can get one. It's an awesome shirt, and it supports a good cause, which is me. And, yeah, hit me up. And if you want to feel like you're getting a real world championship announcement every time you walk into a room, wear one of these babies.
Oh, you done plugging yourself, bro?
You asked me to.
How dare you? Yeah, drapedingold.com. Finally transferred the domains over because Google Domains went out of business. I don't know why you sold the Squarespace, Google. You did screwed me over. But yes, drapedingold.com. And of course, newamsterdam.com and flopito.com, flopito.com. I had an MVP of NXT, but we kind of said it through the course of the show, so that's on me. I'd call it an audible. But... until next week, Jack Farmer, do me a favor. Please say the words.
Do your best and be yourself.